Welcome to today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program. My name is Joe Sierwinski. On today's program, I'm continuing my series with talking with the principals in the Perry School District. And today we have high school principal Dan Marburger. Dan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for the invite.
So first of all, take us through just a brief recap on the first semester at Perry High School this past year.
Certainly. We've had a really good first semester. Enrollment stayed pretty much the same. I think we were actually up about 5 kids at the high school than we were the previous year. We had several new instructors new to Perry High School, one including our family consumer science teacher and a new industrial technology teacher. And things went really well. The kids did a fantastic job. Our staff did a very good job. It was kind of a little different schedule this year in our first semester because we ended the semester before Christmas. We haven't done that before. So it's interesting to see how that goes. We're not quite finished with that as a grading period's just finished and we're trying to get incompletes done and things like that. But it was a very good semester overall.
For sure. Now, part of that success that you had in the first semester from your reports and from other principals as well was due to the Success Center. We've talked about it before, but tell me about how this went in the first semester.
Right. So our Success Center are really for kids that aren't making it in the traditional setting, whether that be the schedule, whether it be their behavior, whether that be the accommodations that need to be made for them. So the Success Center really is for kids. It's another alternative to get their education other than the traditional setting at the high school. So we have roughly about 13 kids over their total right now. Most of those are high school kids. And within that group, about a little more than half are special education kids at that time. So what we do is we try to match up through the alternatives that we have, what's the best place for a kid to get their education. And they've shown us some difficulties by coming to the high schools for some of these kids to be placed at the Success Center. So what we really value is not letting any one person distract the learning of anybody else. We really need to make those accommodations, not only for the person that the accommodations need to be made for, but also the 24 other kids in the room that need to continue to learn. We've had some success with this. We've been wanting to do this for a while. We've studied actually for a couple of years. And then last spring and early in the summer, we were able to find a place here in Perry to try to experiment and pilot. It's been going very well. We've had some kids now transition back to the high school for a couple periods a day. And if things keep going well for them and they show us and prove to us that they can still meet all the goals that we have for them, they'll probably transition back to full time. So far, the pilot program has been going very well and we're very pleased with it.
For sure. And I remember you mentioned in the school board meeting that one kid can change the mood of an entire building.
Absolutely. If we get a kid that's bent on causing some issues in classrooms, it doesn't take very long for that one person to affect the whole atmosphere of the building. So we're very cognizant of that and really want to limit that. And like I said, our biggest priority is that not one person gets to affect the learning of 24 other kids in a classroom or, in this case, a whole building. So we try to get those kids different alternatives to get their education and a very quality education, yet meeting their goals and their needs that they need to have met.
All right. Now, another thing that I wanted to ask you about here today is report cards should be coming out soon for students, and this will be one of their first opportunities really to see the standards-based grading, correct?
Correct. And we piloted standards-based grading the spring semester last year. We ran both traditional grades, standards-based grades, and sent those out to parents. They won't see a whole lot. We still at the high school have to have a GPA, so we have to convert our standards-based grades to grade point average, and we've got a formula. It's pretty complicated, but we have a formula at the high school for that. But the biggest reason we thought standards-based grading is good for the high school is that instead of just throwing out there that your student got a B in algebra, now it will say they got a 3 out of 4 in how to reduce fractions, how to multiply fractions, how to go through the geometry standards. And so it's more exact and will tell you exactly what your kid knows and what they scored on those. Now we convert those, all those 3s and 4s then into a letter grade because that's what we need for colleges for them to offer scholarships. So it's kind of a blend of both our traditional scale and our standards-based grading, but with a lot more information for parents to be able to see.
For sure. Now, how are the teachers handling this transition? Because it sounds like most of the work is on them.
It is, and they've put in a ton of work. We actually started looking at this about 5 years ago. But one of the very first things they have to do is they have to identify essential skills in every classroom. For example, chemistry class may only have 8 for all year. But one of my language arts classes has 8 for first semester standards that they have to meet. So we had to identify all of those essential skills for each class. And then we have to create a rubric or a way to measure each of those standards, we call them, and how the kid did on those. So all of that work had to occur prior to this going on. We really can't build the plane while it's flying in this case. We had to have it built. Not that we haven't tinkered with it and tried to do some other things, but we really had to be ready to go on day one. We haven't seen a lot of change. We'll run all the data once we get all our incompletes done from first semester to see, for example, how many kids failed a class in standards-based grading to how many of them failed them in regular classes. So we'll look at all that data and maybe have to modify some things after that, what we're doing. But I couldn't be more pleased. This was not easy work. Our teachers struggled with it. I think our kids struggled with it, trying to understand it, and some of our parents struggle with it as well. But they need to know that the idea behind it is so that every kid knows exactly what they're supposed to learn out of every class, and they understand how that's going to be assessed. Once they know that, we convert that to a GPA. So it's been a good change for us. We've had more educational conversations about what's going on in the classroom compared to the behavior of kids.
For sure. All right, now a few more things to talk about here today. First of all, the performance profile, which comes out every year. Perry High School did very, very well this year, correct?
We did, and credit goes to the Iowa Department of Education in this case because they decided to not only measure proficiency level, if a kid scored at a certain level or above, but they also gave us credit for kids and their growth. For example, 41 percentile usually was the mark to be marked proficient in any of these tests. We would typically get 79% of our kids would be marked proficient in reading, for example, up to 90% in math or whatever it might be. Well, now they give us credit for if we take a kid that was in the 17th percentile and we move them more than a year, we get credit for that kid being proficient that year. So we have a lot of kids that are just learning English here at Perry High School, and they don't score very well on the very first test that they're ever given, but they do score well as we pass a little time and they get a little more understanding of the language. And we're so pleased with the growth of these kids. We have every year. This isn't any new. We can show kids grow in Perry schools, and they grow more than a year growth in most cases. But we never got credit for that unless they reached a certain proficiency level. So we're really excited about that. You compare apples to apples of schools around us. We did very, very well. We are the highest high school. I'm talking about high school now, not just in our district, but the high school had the highest scores in Dallas County. We also had the highest scores around the neighboring schools, and we are the second highest score in our conference. So we're very pleased with that. You know, there's a huge formula that goes into this, part of it being the graduation rate, part of it being the dropout rate, part of it being our test scores, and then the climate of the building measured by a survey given to the kids and given to our parents. So we're very pleased with that. We always have room to grow. We are able to identify our weaknesses and try to identify some strategies for that. But right now, we're very pleased with where we're at, but we got a ways to go yet, too.
All right. One last thing I wanted to ask you about really quick here today is the new construction that is planned for the high school in particular, but also it's attached to the middle school. Bond referendum coming up for that. What is your take on the project?
Well, the industrial tech area was by far an area that it's overdue to be remodeled and square footage added to it. It was one of the areas, I'm old enough to be here that when we built the high school, and it was one of the areas that was cut out of the new high school because we just couldn't afford to duplicate it when we built the high school. But we're really excited to look at the square footage. Our industrial tech program is first rate. It's second to none in the state, and we have all the stats to back that up. We're excited about that new area. We're excited that we have the possibility of adding a wrestling room, and that program's a very, very good program. That will also help the community in our Junior J program coming up. We'll also use it extensively in our PE program. So it's not just that our wrestlers rule, but on a daily basis, we'll have dance practice in there. We will have our PE classes go in there. So we're proposing to add it on just north of the weight room so they can go right from the weight room into this area when it's not being used for wrestling. So really excited. We hope everybody gets out and vote. No matter what way you're going to vote, just get out and vote on February 5th. But we're really excited about the possibility.
All right. Perry High School Principal Dan Marburger, anything else that you'd like to mention to our listeners today?
No, we'd just like to thank KDLS for all our great coverage and our athletic competitions coming up. Perry's going to be a busy place. I don't know if everybody knew this, but we had a wrestling meet. We had over 1,100 people from out of town in. We have a speech contest coming up this Saturday. We're going to have another 1,000 people at speech. And 2 weeks from now, we have the Perry Band Olympics, and we'll bring about 1,300 people into town for that. So Perry High School is a busy place this time of year.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you.
That's been today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with Dan Marburger. You can find this program at RaccoonValleyRadio.com. My name is Joe Sarwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.